There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. I want you to think about our world. I want you to think about everything that's happening, both in natural disasters and wars that you hear about and wars that you don't hear about. I want you to think about the condition of our world and where it's headed. Do you believe, do you honestly believe that the Antichrist is hidden in the wings, ready to come out and make himself known? Do you believe that? I can promise you, I've seen the man in a vision. He is alive and well. And he's waiting. How do you know? If you've never seen him, how do you know? Because the EU exists. That's how you know. It is a biblical guidepost to let you know, wake up. If you believe that he is here and he is waiting for the perfect moment, you must also believe that he is working feverishly to bring about that perfect moment. How is he working? With world leaders. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? With world leaders. And ritual sacrifices. He's working with the occult. This person, I don't know that I've ever said this from the pulpit before, but I'm going to tell you the truth about him. He is not all human. He is half man and half spirit. His father is the devil. And when he reveals that side of himself, you're going to know you're facing the devil and all the hatred that he has for mankind. Now, if you believe that, do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that he's here, he's alive, he's working with men to bring about his kingdom, that he's working with the occult end to bring about his kingdom? Do you believe that?
Yes.
If you believe it, how much time are you spending in prayer and in preparation for his appearing? How much time? 15 minutes a day? Half hour a day? An hour a day? When he appears, are you going to look over your shoulder, sighing, thinking, I wish I would have done more to prepare for this moment? If you're doing what you should be doing, you won't feel that way. If you are not, you will weep and you will mourn. And I'm so glad that in that moment, you will not be able to say, why didn't Nita tell us? Because I'm telling you. Prayer is the only thing that is going to push back his premature appearing. I can promise you, they are working on the world scene behind closed doors. I've seen some of the men go in and meet with this guy and explain to him all that they're doing to prepare for his coming forth. But prayer is interrupting things. And it's the only thing that can. Wishful thinking cannot. Prayer and prayer alone can stop this man from coming forth prematurely. What do you want to see happen before he arises? Do you have family? You want to see them saved? You want to see maybe your children running hard after God? What do you want to see before this man shows his face? Perhaps what you would like to see is that your own heart is stout in God. And you're no longer vacillating back and forth in the Lord. Perhaps what you'd like to see is that your faith is so strong, it matters not to you who's on the earthly throne. You're secure in God. You must prepare. You must prepare. God is going to do a great thing to help his church, but he will not do it all. The truth is, those who are striving, those who are fighting, those who are striving to enter the rest that I've taught you so much about, those are the ones that the Spirit of the Lord will come to and make a way where there was seemingly no way. Those who are being silly, foolish, the Bible calls those virgins foolish, and wasting the time about so much ado about the things of the world. Oh, you don't know how many will be lost. There is a deception. I wasn't going to share any of this stuff, but it's just filling in my heart. There is a deception coming that is so strong. So strong, you cannot imagine. And the deception is a deception of pride, lust, greed. And when it captures you, it's going to capture your eyes first, then your heart. And when it captures you, and it captures your heart, it's going to capture you so fast and so strong, it will blind you to the truth. And because your heart is lifted up in pride, no one will be able to tell you that you have erred and you are going off the path to the cost of your very soul. This is going to be sent out upon mankind to ensure that they will look for the sovereignty of the Antichrist instead of the sovereignty of God. The Bible talks about the great falling away. This is why. The Lord calls it the storm of the 11th hour. This is why there's going to be a great falling away. Because many will yield to pride and self-protection and the love of the world. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's what he warned us about, isn't it? You must press in. You must pray. Don't be foolish. Don't tell yourself, oh, that stuff will never affect me. It won't if you're a person of prayer. But if you are not, you can only hope. God is looking for people of prayer. He's looking for people. I asked my team one time before a gathering, I asked each one individually, I said, What does it mean to you when you think about life without revival, what does it mean to you? If no revival comes, what do you think you will do? Are you with me? Are you paying attention? And my worship leader shocked me. Several of the members of the team just sat there looking at me with their mouths open. They couldn't believe I was asking that question. But I meant that question with all my heart. My worship leader shocked me. And I said to him, Ken, what does it mean to you? He said, no life. I can't imagine it. There is no life without revival. I can't imagine if God were to say tomorrow, no revival, we missed it. We messed up. We didn't pay the price enough. And revival is not coming. He said, I wouldn't even care to live another day. What is life without Christ? What is hope without His glory? And I pose that question to you. How much does the glory of God mean to you? How much does it mean to your life? What price are you willing to pay to ensure that God visits America with revival? What does it mean to you? Well, we're already seeing an outpouring in Mobile. Maybe that's enough. Do you think it's enough?
No.
Do you think that even in the outpouring that it's really what God has promised? Or do you think there's more? What does it mean to you? Where is your heart? What price will you pay? How hungry are you? When David spoke about the hart panting after the water brook, he wasn't just speaking about a hungry deer. He was speaking about a deer who is frantically running through the forest because its enemy is hot on its trail. And it knows that the only refuge is the water brook, is the pool of water that can hide its scent. This deer is not just a little thirsty. He wants to dip into the water until there's nothing left to see. Do you find yourself frantically running after God? Or do the circumstances and the people in our lives keep dampening the hunger? Zeal! Zeal! That's what He wants from you. That's what He needs from you. He needs to see you panting with hunger that is feverish for God. You can't sit there on your easy seat. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Fill me with the hunger. He's not looking for those who are sitting on their easy seat praying an easy prayer. He's looking for those. My heart is breaking right now. The tears in my eyes. He's looking for those who are so hungry they cannot bear it. Something inside of them is breaking for hunger and longing for God. He's not looking for those who are just passively standing by. If He comes, He comes. If He doesn't, He doesn't. But he's looking for those who will come and pound the altar. I must have
Because everything inside of you is aching. There's got to be some vent, some release for the deep pain, the hunger, the hunger, the passionate hunger for that side of God. I cannot live if I do not see your glory. I must stand in the presence of the Shekinah. I must know the burning passion, the jealousy of God entering into my soul and swathing my heart, filling me with something I've never known before. When I wake up in the morning, my soul needs to be on fire to seek the face of the living God. I don't want to live. I don't want to make it. I don't want to go another day except you ignite me as a torch for the living God. I want to see your face. No, Lord. I don't want to see the face of an angel. I want to see your face. I need your life burning my heart. I don't want to live in this milquetoast reality anymore. To see the face of the living God is life. To hear the voice that recreates my soul. To feel his touch. To feel the nearness of his presence. To drink of his love. To be filled with his holiness. Oh, I must have God. Deep is crying after deep. I cannot live in this shallow place anymore. How much? How much do you want him? How much? What does it take to move you? You're too comfortable. What does it take to move you? Will you move if the crowd moves? Or will you move because the Spirit of God is gripping you? And you must have him. You keep following the crowd, you'll never have him, my brothers and sisters. Because they're going the wrong direction. God will send the fire into the soul who will not be denied. Are you sure you want him? I'm not sure. I don't think he's sure. Are you sure? The Spirit is moving, and the Spirit will answer the desperate, the desperate. Don't you understand? The desperate, the desperate, the desperate, the desperate. You are standing in the middle ground. On one side is the pit. On the other side is the glory. You're standing on the middle ground. How apathetic will you be? God is calling out for you. He is crying out for you. But I want to promise you, so is the devil. And in these last days, the devil is going to cry out for your soul more than he's ever done before. How are you going to fight the battle? How will you gain the strength to fight the battle except on your knees? On your face. Putting your face in the dust. I am a worm. I am a no man. All life is in Christ. bad do you want the fire? How bad? How bad? How badly do you want the fire? Send the jealousy of God upon us, Lord. Help us to understand there is a pressing in, and there is a desperate pressing in, and you are looking for the desperate. No more! No more of this milk toast! Desperation! That's what you're looking for! That's what you demand! That is the torch you're going to light! Many in this hour will stand there looking at their laurels, applauding themselves for what they've done, and their neighbor who's been on their knees and is still on their knees. That is the one that will be ignited. When you want God so bad, it hurts so bad you can't stand it. He will come. When you want God so bad, you are undone. Not over your own glory, but over your own desperation, your own emptiness, your own hopelessness of the fruitlessness of your life, because you have not given your heart wholly to Him. There is the cry of the eagle, and that eagle is crying, wanting to lead the children higher into God. But there is another problem, and that is that the knees, there's something wrong with the knees. The knees don't want to bend. They don't want to come to the altar. They don't want to be desperate. They don't want to bend. They don't want to be inconvenienced in their seeking. The only way to go higher is to go lower. The only way to go higher is to go lower. The only way to go higher is to go lower. The priests of God have brought a strange fire to the altar. As in the days of Moses, as in the days of Aaron, the priests were struck because of their strange fire. Don't think it won't happen today. It will. God is looking for pure hands and a pure heart. You cannot bring the world into the tabernacle of God, into the Holy of Holies. You don't dare want His fire to fall when you've been messing with the world. Purify my heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. Purge me with hyssop. Where are the holy ones? Where are the broken ones? Where are the desperate ones for God? The fervent prayer of the righteous will prevail before the throne. Let your soul be consumed. Plead for it. Pray for it. Plead for it. Plead. Plead. Consume me, O God. For you are an all-consuming fire. Consume me. Let me be consumed with the living flames of God. The fire of His passion burns within the soul. The soul will never know the purpose for which it's been created until God invades. The soul will never know. You don't know what life is until you're gripped by the passion of His fiery. His fiery love, His fiery holiness. You don't know what life is. until your soul is broken before the altar. You don't know what it means to live for God until you tremble in the presence of His Word. And when His Word speaks, you find yourself, "Lord, I'm sorry that I want this so much. I'm sorry that I love this too much. I'm sorry that I gave myself too much to this." You find yourself trembling for fear that you have displeased Him. Then you have touched the hem of life. Too much pride, Lord. I wanted to be seen too much. I wanted to be seen so bad they couldn't even see you. Repent! I love my comforts too much, Lord. I just couldn't find myself paying the price. Repent! Throw it on that fiery altar in front of you. My soul longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land, I am sick, simply sick to see you, Lord. I search for you in the night seasons. My pillow is wet with tears to see the Lord in His image in the sanctuary. Oh, when will you come? When, Lord? When? My soul is gripped with longing. Day and night, I toss and I turn as I weep and I wail for the presence of the living God. Oh, how I long to be in the courts of God. He wants to satisfy your soul. He wants to satisfy your heart. He wants to give you the drink that will satisfy your life. But you're going to have to plead for it, beg for it, fast for it, die for it, live for it. He will not compete with the world, my dear friends. No, He will not do it. You will abort the world and run to Him if you will have Him. Oh, this churning, ever churning in my heart. These wrestlings with the Holy One to set me apart. Oh, my soul is shaking and trembling. The mountain of the Lord is quaking. I must be seeking to be made anew. Revival, send the fire. Lord, we cannot live without it. We don't want to live without it. Send the fire, rend the heavens, O Lord, and send the fire. Cause the mountains to shake and quake as in days before. My soul is in pain for the presence of the living God. Flash out of the again, light. You are so good, Lord. You are so good, Lord. You satisfy the hungry heart, Lord. You satisfy the hungry soul. Oh, my soul, taste and see that God is good. Look for the courts of the Lord. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of God. Push through the hindrances. Push through the hindrances. Yearn for God. Push through the hindrances. For it is for the good of your soul. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. So good is the Lord. So good is the Lord. So good is the Lord.
Darkness, Lord, you inebriate my soul. You are the one I hunger for. makes me whole. You are God, you are Lord, you are friend, you are my Savior. Your word cleanses, your spirit heals. Turn away from all that distracts. I run hard after Jesus. I push away every hindrance. My soul longs for my Lord.
Not to come to the preacher. They'll answer that call by the thousands. The call is to come to the cross and find the Lord. Is your soul sweetened by His presence today? Have you touched the Lord? Every day that you open your eyes is a day to touch the Lord and to be touched by Him. If you go to bed at night and you have not felt the tangible touch of God, you have failed your day. This day was not given for that failure. This day was given that you might know Him better than you knew Him yesterday. Every correction, every admonition, every redirection, everything that cuts across your self-righteousness is a gift from the Lord. Because as long as you stand clothed in self-righteousness, he cannot get through. Your cry every day must be, God, correct me any way you see fit to break through this facade of self-righteousness. Be like David, who said, let my enemies smite me on my cheek. It is the gift of God. Be wise and be humble. Be holy. Be desperate. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace. It does not say to come haughtily. That you might find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Of the Pharisee, Jesus had nothing to say, but of the man who knelt before the altar and beat his breast, he had much to say. Be wise. Be humble. Be holy. Be hungry. Be desperate. And you will be satisfied. Amen. Jesus loves you. If you prayed with a pure heart tonight, I can promise you, you brought him greater pleasure than you've brought him in a long time. He wants desperate crying. And he will run to meet the desperate cries. Amen.